I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Together now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is with us.
All right.
Pete Donaldson is present.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, here we are once again. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo said on the Jonathan Ross show recently that he wants to end his football career with dignity and not play in the US, Qatar or Dubai.
Dignity? Did he see that film that he made? There's nothing dignified about that film he just put out. Exactly.
He's not watched it.
Doesn't mean he hasn't watched it.
He was there.
Well,
what would you like to see old Ronnie do with his time after he hangs up his boots, Jim?
This is not so much what I'd like to see him do. This is more like what I think he will do. I think he'll just be one of those professional flash people.
Like
he's really, really minted, isn't he?
So like, I can imagine rich kids of Instagram, those
types. Yeah, those sort of people, or even like a sort of Richard Branson type, where he does, he has a business, but he's very much the face of it. So I think he'll buy an island, which he'll call Ronaldo's Island.
He's already bought an island for his mate, though.
Well, there you go. He's got previous already.
He knows how to do it.
He'll get a much, much better, bigger island than his mate.
He's got an island broker, Marcus.
Just take it back. I'll change my mind.
It's mine. You were just keeping it warm for
land
me.
Land grab.
Yeah. And then he'll call it Ronaldo's Island, and it'll be like this sort of Playboy pleasure resort where you just go over there and you'd be really rich. But he'll challenge every guest to just play him at loads of different sports all the time, and he'll make sure he always wins.
He's never off the snooker table.
No, never off the snooker table. And he's only taking a break from snooker to just like just beat someone at ping pong.
You know, there's those chalkboards next to pool tables in bars, just Cristiano every single
just
time.
Yeah, just all over it.
And oh, it's me up next.
Yeah. It would seem like a really fun place to go from the brochure, but you get there and it would get weird and tedious and annoying that you keep just making you play sport.
High lie again, Cristiano. Brilliant. Can't wait.
Good slam dunk. Right.
Brilliant.
He'd win all the sport, and then people would say, well, has Messi won any of these games?
he would say that.
Yeah, well, he would. And people would say, well, is Messi going to play? Well, he's not turned up to the island.
Yeah,
exactly. I keep entering him into the arm wrestling competition, and he keeps not turning up, which technically is a win for me. He's forfeiting. What's he scared of?
And when you fly off the island to get through the customs, you've actually just got to, oh, yeah, Cristiano, you are the best. Yeah, otherwise you can't get off.
I'd imagine he'd always be wearing white suits as well, probably with Ronaldo 7 on the back, of every piece of clothing he owns.
And absolutely no shoes or socks.
No,
whitest of linen and the brownest of toes.
Would he greet you, though, as you walk through customs? But it would be like...
No, lookalikes would greet you. Okay. All the staff would have to have surgery to look like you.
Yeah, that's right. But it would be like when... that door that Mr. Burns has for returning employees, you have to crawl through the little door.
Yeah.
And then come up. Yeah, so in other words, it looks like you're worshipping him when you come out the other side.
I like that.
Well done, Jim.
Yeah.
Luke.
I think he'd do that.
I'll go for that as well.
You're forfeiting your answer.
No, I'm not.
Add Bond villain to it, and it's a different answer. Yeah.
Although mine is sort of similar in a more sort of low key way. I did think about this. I genuinely thought about what job he'd be suited for, and I just come up with a state agent. I think he would just be in the state. He wears the suit. He's got the tan. He probably knows his way around quite a lot of big houses, so he knows all the sort of ins and outs of property and stuff like that. And he's got that smile, so he'll probably be able to secure some business. He'd have absolutely no problem with sort of sucking up and sliming up to the boss and working his way up the greasy pole of real estate. So I think he would probably be an estate agent.
The greasiest of all the poles. Mm.
And he wouldn't understand why people would live in anything other than a mansion.
Yeah. By the way, you probably can't afford this one. It's out of your range. But I thought I'd show you around it just to show the sort of house I live in. Right, get back in the car. Get back in the Mini Cooper. We're going down the road.
Going to take you down the gym. And if any house has got a sea view, he'd point out the window. Just go see when he did that weird celebration. Oh, where he won was it the Ballon d'Or he won?
It was the Ballon d'Or.
And he went see, and everyone was like, "Ooh, what are you doing, man?"
He's pumped up.
Yeah, don't buy a sea view house. No. A house with a sea view of Cristiano Ronaldo is the moral of that.
Well, don't
story.
Buy it anyway because his chances are the soil erosion.
He's probably not accredited.
Yeah, and that as well, Peter. Yeah.
So about 5 years ago, stick me on this one. 5 years ago, Ireland gave away free cheese. From the EU Cheese Mountain.
Yep.
Sounds a wonderful place.
Well, I mean, they were under the cosh for their terrible abortion record, et cetera, et cetera. So they thought, vote winning, we'll give away a lot of EU cheese.
Irish mature cheddar, was it?
Yeah, no, I think it was just cheddar, just normal cheddar. I don't think it wasn't even Irish mature.
Play it safe.
It was quite weak, as I recall, the cheese experts at the time. But then we didn't hear anything from it.
No.
Which makes me wonder whether people can grate it. I mean, so get his abs.
Yes.
And get the Irish to grate their cheese on his abs. So if you want to be European, Luke,
I've got an issue.
You've had
here,
your
Pete.
Turn.
Hang on, I think we should let Pete finish.
I think Marcus is perilously close to actually getting on board with this, and I'm worried.
Yeah,
and I'm worried.
Yeah, same.
Just allow.
I never thought I'd hear me say this.
It's not driving Miss Marcus.
I'd like to hear more from Pete, please.
So I worry because it's all gone quiet on the Irish cheese front that they have been unable to grate it, and there aren't enough graters in Ireland. So, if you want to be European Player of the Year, you got to be the European Cheese Grater of the Year.
Now,
lay down on the bed and let's get grating.
That's right. You're a great player. I'm a greater player.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll be through that.
Rescue. Thank him.
No.
Thank him.
No. Wordplay will never rescue anything. Unless it's a life jacket and it's got words on it.
You don't know until you try.
No.
We should clarify, that was not wordplay, what you just did.
No. No, what he did.
Yeah, but you just talked about a life jacket with words on it. That's not wordplay.
No,
is
I said it?
It
won't save anything.
Okay,
if
fine.
It's got words on it.
Okay.
And a life circle thing is a zero, isn't it? Or a not.
Marcus worked so hard to rescue this.
Yeah.
And we're back in the sea.
Yeah, good.
Two ganars, Pete. Two ganars.
Two ganars.
Just give me the points and let's move on.
All right. I think he should be a cleaner. Because then when he cleaned up a room or a kitchen or office space, he could announce after the cleaning's been completed that the area was messy, but it is no longer thanks to him.
Yeah, OK. Yeah, go on the messy thing.
Yeah,
Jim, other guy.
Jim's got the points.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Let's move on quickly to the international friendly. Spain versus England. Oh, Spain didn't get any points because it was a friendly.
Yeah, that is the one thing they can be sad about.
The joke's on you, Spain.
Letting Santi Cazorla score.
Oh, dear. Mario with a lovely one.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Fantastic goal. Such an enjoyable goal.
It was England.
Outrageous swivel kick.
England had defended pretty well up to then, and they'd reduced Spain to very few proper chances. In fact, if any, really, there are a few half chances.
And thousands and thousands of passes.
Have all the possession you want. But it was just annoying that England had actually dug in quite deep.
Yeah.
And then that happens, and you just think, oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah, the coverage of the game on radio particularly really annoyed me because everyone seemed to be missing the point that clearly England
were second best.
But they arranged this game and these types of games for a reason, right? So, Marcus, you talk about it quite extensively before on the show, saying that, you know, England have to take the game to teams all the time competitively. So when that gets to the tournament situation, it's not the only problem, but it's one of the big problems that they don't know how to play reactively and hit teams on the break and deal with it when a team is better than them or coming at them. And you need to be able to do that. And if you look, a classic example of that is Greece at Euro 2004. Mm. They weren't the best team by any means, but they managed to do it.
Or Italy in general. They're a great example of a successful team who've known that and been able to execute it.
So if you do play that type of game against a better team, I think there is an element that you have to say, if Mario Gaspar scores a goal like that, you've actually got to go,
enough.
Yeah, maybe you could have got tied to him, but I mean, it's a great goal.
He was marked. That's what's insane about it. It was chipped into him. He was marked. He's a right back, and he still did that. Absolutely.
But it was quite an unorthodox finish as well.
It was.
Yeah. The way he threw himself.
But if there's a coach, Emmanuel, and they say, oh, you know, he's there, sort of side onto goal, however many yards.
The ball's up in an awkward position.
Yeah, the ball's coming over his shoulder. Is there danger there? Yes, there bloody well is.
Yeah.
But there's nothing you can do about it.
When Super Mario's around, there is.
Exactly. So I think the problem with England, though, is when they... There are other problems, of course. I mean, they don't keep hold of the ball properly. I think the first goal or the second goal, one of them came from Sterling giving the ball away quite cheaply. Yeah.
Second goal, Hart could have done better with a kick.
And he was... Yeah, definitely. He also switched off assuming the offside would be given when it wasn't. And Cazorla's finish was exquisite.
Yes.
Another brilliant one. But yeah, there was certainly culpability in that goal.
It's a bugbear, mind you, in that. The appeal for offside type business. Don't worry about it. It
happens all the time. Yeah.
If you're a goalkeeper especially, do not worry about it. Mm. I've never once seen a linesman... or an assistant referee, give a flag for offside because someone's appealed for it. It's not a wicket in cricket. Just get on with the game.
Submit a request.
No, save it anyway. And if it gets offside, all well and good. But don't gamble on it.
It's not far away from someone hitting the bar and going, oh, God, just give us it.
Yeah, that was close.
Far off.
Yeah. It's like Hawkeye in tennis. You're allowed one.
Yeah.
You're allowed one wavy of the arms.
You're allowed a challenge, yeah.
You've had your one.
Yeah. But I did think, just to finish quickly, I thought a lot of the problems that England have suffered from, and hopefully some of the things that Roy Hodgson is trying to iron out over the next 6 months or so, is this problem about the team in possession, about how, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I feel like when I see another team, a good international side play, which I don't think England are necessarily, their touch seems to be automatic.
Yes.
They look after the ball properly. They're always already looking at what they're going to do next when the ball comes to them. But I just think it seems a bit laboured when it comes to England for some reason.
No, you're absolutely right. I think... It's easy for us. We could sit here and go, well, same old story for England. They were outclassed. They didn't create much, etc. and so on. And you would be right saying that. However, I think it's a bit more nuanced than that. I mean, they did have an awful lot of injuries.
Yes.
So that was...
it's an odd team, isn't it? You can't imagine a team like that going out in a tournament unless we had an absolute injury crisis before it.
And did Spain create much?
This was the point.
We limited them to very few chances, which is... I don't think it was the worst performance in the world.
Yeah. Go on, do something great. Do it. Oh, you have.
Yeah.
Well, you've got that in your locker as well.
But you are right again. But still, it could have been far worse. I mean, the scoreline isn't as bad as it makes it sound. I was very impressed by Nolito. He's 29. He's only got five caps.
He's having a good season as well.
Yeah, he is for Celta Vigo. Scored an absolute screamer against Real Madrid recently, which is what you have to do against them, which is, I guess, why these Spanish players are so good at it. but, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of player that couldn't get in the squad before.
Because, you know, they've had this hugely, amazingly successful generation. And there's all these guys that are just still winning first caps. Yeah. Like, this guy's ridiculous.
Well, but that isn't that the point, though, that Nolito has to play out of his skin and it takes him to the age of 29 or however old he was when he's put a few caps together. And it's kind of like, right, now you're playing at our level, Nolito. You can play for the national team.
And isn't that the way it's meant to be?
Yeah, very, very much so.
I found it hard to find definitive facts about this. And I did ask on Twitter, but no one could really tell me one way or the other. I think there might be fewer English players who start regularly in the Premier League that haven't been called up than have.
Wow.
And I think I'm not saying it's definitely true, but to my mind, and from the research I've looked into it, and it looks like that might be the case, which is an absolutely terrible indictment of the state of English football. Because, I mean, come on to the squad again in a minute, but you know, I mean, that cannot be a healthy situation. As you've just touched on, Marcus, you want competitiveness, competition for places. And England is nowhere near that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
Said, I mean, is that not indicative of the fact that a lot of people have been tried and haven't worked out and then they haven't come back into the squad? One thing that we were all worried about was the squad being stale for so long. We just had the same faces just getting in there over and over and over again with the Gerard Lampard in the middle, you know,
business
fast that it became. And I think this is maybe perhaps too far the other way, but we were crying out for that. But, we were crying out for new blood.
Just on that, Michael Cox did a really interesting piece on ESPN about the generation of players that England have that were born, let me get this right, between 1982 and 1988. And the reason he was saying that is because that is, in his mind, the generation that are going to be experienced and need to be relied upon for next summer's tournament. Mm. And he lists a load of other top teams that have got, top countries that have got players from that.
So players sort of between the age of 26, 27, and 33.
Yeah, that type of thing. And he said the only players that England have that you could legitimately call world-class who have been top-class at any point are Joe Hart and Wayne Rooney. The other players England have in the squad or certainly selected here and there are Phil Jagielka, Leighton Baines, James Milner, Gary Cahill, Adam Lallana, Fraser Forster and Jamie Vardy.
What about Michael Carrick?
I think he might just be out of the range. He's
34,
older.
Yeah. I think.
Okay, so okay. If we include Carrick as well, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's still only three.
Yeah, that's not my ace card. No, you're forgetting England. Yeah.
So the problem England have got to worry about then for next summer, and I guess they don't really want to worry about it actually because there's nothing they can do about it, is that they're not going to have a seasoned amount of experienced players who really do anything at international level consistently. I think with the exception possibly of James Milner, who I think is underrated and probably is dealt a little bit harshly by being in that bracket, other than that, it's worrying.
But that's only worrying if you're looking at England as contenders to win it, which I don't think realistically we are we?
No.
Maybe not, but I think I think there's an argument to be made certainly that England could be more competitive.
Oh, absolutely.
In the tournament itself.
Yeah, I think what you say there, Luke, about the older players. I mean, was it Wayne Rooney or Cahill was saying that in the dressing room they actually take a back seat in the kind of the fun and frolics that happen and the lols and bants because it's the younger players who are all together. You know, a lot of them have played together at certain levels, and so the older guys actually. It's they've probably grown up as younger players in the England squad and seen the older guys dominate the dressing room, and then it's been kind of flipped reversed. And you can argue that's good, you can argue that's bad. I think going back to what Jim said about the same old squad, you did have the same sort of group of players, and we thought, well, they're used to losing, they're used to being defeated at tournaments and so on and so forth. If you got some youngsters in there who don't have that, then maybe that could make a difference. But unfortunately with England, it doesn't seem to matter whether it's a fresh-faced young squad and or experienced squad, a bit of everything. Well, the problems remain far more deep-rooted than that.
Yeah, absolutely. It all goes back to the lack of a sensible approach at proper youth level and the lack of coaches in England. It's prohibitively expensive for a lot of people to become coaches. Well, so these two things combined just mean that we fall so far short of the standards set by other countries at younger ages.
I think Patrice Evra, I may have said this on the show last week or the week before, so forgive me if I'm going over old ground, but Patrice Evra said in an interview recently that in the Premier League, you know, it's more like a boxing match between teams and whatnot. And he said even at how old is Patrice Evra? 33, 34,
something like that?
Possibly even a bit older. He's certainly in his 30s. And he said that he's learned even more about the game being in Italy, you know, more like a chess match, that kind of thing. And he said the problem for the England team is they go to international football, but they don't have the likes of Patrice or whoever it is, the foreign players that make up the teams in the Premier League. you know, those Arsenal players. Oxlade-Chamberlain doesn't have Ozil putting balls out to him, or Santi Cazorla setting him up, or yeah, Walcott doesn't have that kind of thing. So when you take away all that kind of stuff, you're left with players who are used to kind of going toe-to-toe, straight-on sparring kind of matches. They need to be more crafty, which is why we see Italy, for example. OK, they went out in the first round with us, but the previous championships, they were in the final against Spain, obviously lost 4-0. We see those teams be a bit more crafty and a bit more intelligent. We saw that when Juventus went away to Manchester City in the Champions League as well, when Juve not having a good start to the season. And I know Man City have been terrible, but, you know, there's a little point in there, perhaps. And in England, against Spain, you know, the Spanish, it just seemed very easy for them. England got the ball, and often when it went back to Joe Hart, he would boot it long. Now, when Spain got the ball at the back, they would come out. Now, that's obviously because Hodgson said, right, let's play zone and keep off. But I felt very sorry for Michael Carrick, who was meant to get the ball off the back line and then try and pick a pass. But he was closed down so much. And But England's football was a bit tidier.
It was a little bit tidier. But I wanted to say on that game particularly that the stuff that we know Spain are better than England at, I mean, you don't want to worry about short term. It's not for us to worry about at the moment. We just call it as we see it. And it's not, that sort of stuff's not going to be sorted in the short term anyway.
No, absolutely.
But the stuff that England can do well, I still don't think they're good enough at anyway.
No, I agree with you.
They don't react well enough when losing the ball, and there's absolutely no excuse for that. They don't, like I said, their touch doesn't tend to be on it.
They didn't break very well.
They don't break quickly.
Sterling was very off the ball. Harry Kane had a few sights at goal.
He had some chances.
And it was a shame he didn't score right at the end, because it would have just been a psychological boost.
He worked hard, but he was pretty isolated. And I think something that was really evident in England's play is they looked panicked in possession.
They knew that Spain were going to get closed down a lot.
But it was almost, it was more than Spain actually doing it. It was the fear of it as well. So their passing was just off, as is so often the case. And if you give the ball away against Spain, you're going to have to wait 5 minutes to get it back.
I think it's crucial.
And do you think also, just to pick on what you're saying earlier about, say, for example, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Ozil or whatever, and Oxlade-Chamberlain is a technically fairly good football player, so it's not maybe the best example, but if you've got a player, an English player playing in the Premier League, right? So say James Milner and Coutinho, right? And they are being pressed, and they are being pressured and harried in possession. James Milner knows, and this is no disrespect to James Milner, because he's the type of player he is, but he knows, if I give that ball to Philip Coutinho, he can keep hold of it. He'll look after it. Yeah. He'll give me a breather, he'll give me an extra couple seconds, and it makes the whole thing a lot easier. And I wonder whether England have got enough of those players, and I suspect they probably
have. I agree with you, and which is why that... Hodgson is so keen to have, it really is Wilshere probably with two more industrious players in there, and Carrick will have to play if Wilshere's injured. Carrick will probably feature quite a lot for England just through kind of default. I know he's a bit old. I mean, I think Carrick's an excellent player, and which is why, you know, at the time of recording, the France game's obviously not happened, but I would expect him actually to play Shelvey in there. Whether, I don't think Shelvey's perhaps good enough at that level, but he's the only type of player maybe in that kind of mould that England have. And you think, do England play two defensive midfielders behind someone like Ross Barkley? Well, England don't really have that. I know Dele Alli and Dyer play that there for Spurs, but it's very early days.
I think on that stuff, I want to talk a bit about the squad as well, and this is a nice way of sort of going on to it. I think that I don't think Hodgson casts his net wide enough either. I think that what I've said about the players being called up, more players being called up than not called up, I still think he calls up the wrong players a lot of the time. Mm. I think it's a bit embarrassing that he's called up Jesse Lingard. I think there are
Mason's been called up as well, which makes a bit more
He hasn't
sense.
Really played much football. He's been injured.
He had a good season last year.
He did, very much so. But there are players now who are in form and fit who have never got a look in at England. And if you look at why is he starting with Fabian Delph? When Delph's played 30 minutes of football all season.
True, but Delph could be a useful player for England next summer.
But so could, the reason I brought this up is because you said Carrick will play a lot next summer, which I agree with, and especially if Wilshere's injured.
Carrick's injured, so he won't be playing against France. We're dropping like flies.
Yeah, but why don't I not pick up someone like Jack Cork? He's not been that great recently. Swansea have dropped off a little bit. We had an excellent September, and he's exactly that type of player. And he's not even mentioned in the conversation, let alone called up and had a look at. I mean, Hodgson doesn't even want to look at him in training.
But it's more that he calls players up and then he just discards them a match after that.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like, what can you learn from a player from 60 minutes of football? They might be having a stinker. What? Their international career is over.
And it's new for them as well. So it's a whole new experience. But players like Scott Dan, Scott Dan is in absolutely fantastic form. Like Danny Drinkwater is playing very well. Leicester are third in the league. Markle Brighton, Leicester are third in the league. Markle Brighton's played every game.
And to be honest, as a home ground, Wembley is a pretty crappy pitch. You know, it's a pretty crappy pitch. It's a big old pitch as well. And players that play for, I don't know, West Ham aren't going to be used to that kind of space through the middle. I just think it's a completely different game of football when you play at that level.
They need a chance. I mean, Old Brighton's a great example.
Yeah, maybe. I think centre-backs, I think Scott Dan, he's got his centre-backs. And actually, even when Phil Jones came in, I thought he played pretty well. So I think that's probably why Scott Dan's not getting picked. I understand what you mean.
I think it's going forward.
I think it's that midfield, though, Marcus. I mean, when you look at the injury list, you can't just go, oh, I've got my four for the summer and assume everything will be fine with them. You've got to give someone like Scott Dan a chance.
And but your he point is... on, sorry, Marcus, your point is on Nolito, for example. Right, he's not getting anywhere. He's not. I mean, Caps, he got a four or five. Right. He's an older player, right? I mean, and that's fine because Spain are really good. I mean, like 2014 aside, they won three tournaments in a row. It's not, Nolito cannot sit back and look at his career when he's 50 and go, oh, I only got five caps and it's a disgrace. He's going to go, no, I only got five caps. I was a very good player. We've got a lot of other good players. Someone like Michael Brighton, I don't know why I'm banging the drum for him particularly, but it seems like a reasonable example. England aren't doing anything.
But the trouble is he wanted his best squad for this game. And it was a shame they were all out. So Michael Brighton's not going to go in the summer. So I think... that's why.
But Marcus, why not? Because if Leicester, okay, little thought exercise. If Leicester get fourth, mm-hmm. and Michael Brighton's played every single game and been brilliant and not got anywhere near a sniff of the England squad, Hodgson's making a rod for his own back.
True, but I think there's more. I think there's more chance of Jesse Lingard becoming.
But why?
Because he's playing under Van Gaal at Manchester United.
Two games.
Well, no, but he is playing. I think Lingard is certainly one for the future. Albrighton, I think, is probably... he's a young player, admittedly, but I wouldn't imagine Albrighton will turn into like an absolutely fantastic player. He's a decent Premier League player and he's having a decent season, but he's... Albrighton, you know, he left Villa because he couldn't get in the side that much. You look at it like that, whereas Lingard actually has got a real chance and has shown a lot of promise. That's probably...
It just seems to me that certain players are groomed and decided to be England players. I mean, like, this is not disrespectful.
I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying for those, that particular example.
Yeah, fine. Okay, I was just trying to think of players that are more outside of the traditional few and it's worth thinking about.
There's also only so many meetups left. So, you know, I guess if there's players he's made decisions on, then he sort of can't go back on it. You know?
But I mean, it
does seem a bit mixed up, the selection policy.
The finer details of the squad, though, is not why Spain pressed England. England panicked, would then have to sort of hit it long. They hit it long less than they have done in previous matches against sides like that. And then when England go forward, they just don't. Because Harry Kane had a few sights of goal, like I said. And England, I know you could say that Spain did and they didn't take the opportunity, but I think my great hope is that England will learn from that and they'll be able to find a way of playing against the Spain, because there are many ways of winning a football match. Mm. And Spain have been beaten. I think Slovakia beat them in the group and obviously they didn't have a great World Cup. So it's obviously a big hope and it's not likely. But if England just look more comfortable...
You're saying it's on.
No, I'm saying it's very much off, but if England are just more comfortable, I think, playing against that kind of opposition, that's, I think, what we ask. If we're under the cosh, fine, but play well under the cosh, you know what I mean?
Have some fun. We always say this before every tournament, when we've lost all of our best players and we go, oh God, we're going to get absolutely spanked. Let's just have some fun.
Right, we're going to talk about more international football after this little break.
Heads up, it's the Ramblers.
It is the Ramblers. That's us. We're back. And the Welsh, they lost at home to the Netherlands in a friendly. Mm. They were missing a few players themselves, of course. And not a bad result. I mean, scored a couple of goals, and that would be encouraging for them to score against still a good side. I know they're unqualified.
Well, they got back into it very well, which is very spirited. And I think they showed a little bit of naivety when they equalised, when they scored. Got it back to 2-2. They sort of switched off a bit. They were so giddy, like, yeah, we've done it. Yeah. We're still on this incredible crest of a wave. And against teams with players with the quality of, you know, Arjen Robben and Baz Dost, even, who had a like great game, you just can't do that because you will get punished. And that's the lesson for them from that game. They have to learn from that. I think Wales' sort of template for the Euros should be of somebody like Turkey in Euro 2008. Remember, they just didn't know they were beaten. Mm. They just would not give up. And Wales, they're coming in this huge wave of euphoria, and they need to take that into the tournament because they're so inexperienced there. They can't let their heads drop if things start going badly. And obviously, they've got the quality of Bale and Ramsey to come back in as well. But, you know, even though they lost 3-2 at home, there's a lot of encouraging signs in that performance from the Welsh.
Yeah, definitely. For Robin's first goal, the defender sort of put Robin on his right foot. So Robin went out, went cut inside on his left and went, you know, overcompensated.
and just went back and back and still managed to score. You know exactly what he's going to do.
Yeah.
I think I understand why Wales want to play that game. I don't think they should be too distraught by losing it. I mean, they're not playing it. They've not played. Netherlands are in a bit of disarray at the moment, as we all know, but they've got fantastic individuals.
Yeah.
And Wales need to practice against playing against those sort of teams.
And
Wales,
the Dutch actually looked a bit more relaxed, didn't they?
Oh, they were, didn't they?
Yeah, just finally like, oh, it doesn't matter now.
And Wales were missing two of their best players.
Indeed,
you know?
Yeah.
So looking pretty good. Northern Ireland, handy little win for them against Latvia.
Yeah, Sean Davis. Good to be in the winning
Davis.
Habit.
So Stephen Davis, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just good to be in the winning habit for Northern Ireland. You know, even though, you know, it's, you know, supposedly only Latvia or whatever anyone might say. Northern Ireland, they're one of those teams where you would look at them in the past and always expect them to have to grind out any victory. Whereas now you kind of expect them to win, which is such an impressive turnaround.
Well, the funny thing with Northern Ireland is I think that's their first friendly win in about 8 years. It's a ridiculous record. They did fantastic in the qualifying. Competitively, they're great. Friendlies, they've just used it as an excuse to experiment around and stuff. But now for them, in my opinion, it's all about momentum. So that's why they've played a team like Latvia. I think I said this last week. They play a team like Latvia because they can get another win on their belt and they can really steamroller and get a head of steam up.
Yeah, I think a side like Northern Ireland, again, they know how they're going to play in most of the games. So, you know, a friendly against Spain or somebody like that for them is might not be that beneficial because you could get beaten quite heavily and you think, oh, that's a bit of a...
I'll tell you something, Northern Ireland, for example...
A confident sapper.
Northern Ireland will perform in a back-to-the-wall type performance next summer and they'll outperform England in doing that.
Well, we said that about Wales,
didn't
we?
Yeah, they're better at doing that than England are. I mean, you know, England aren't used to it. They can't get used to it. They can't get with it. Whereas a team like Northern Ireland, who are used to playing like that, can be really solid. And I think they've got not a chance of doing anything massive. But, I mean, I don't see why, depending on the draw, they can't get out of the group because they've got such a good team spirit, such a good, like, hard-working ethic. And I think they've got a chance of doing something.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going back to Wales as well, Gareth Bale is probably much better off in an international sense being Welsh because he's the main man there. Just go and play. We will defend and we will graft. And obviously there's a bit more of than that going on. There's a bit of craft in there as well. But you do stuff, whereas against England, if he was English, he'd just be put out on one of the wings, wait for us to pass it to, oh, it never comes.
I don't know about these days.
I disagree. I think he'd be better off being German.
These days he'd be the best player England got,
by far.
And he would certainly, I mean, I don't think they'd get away with sticking him out on the left. I think he's a world superstar.
Well, look, I suppose that the point I'm making is that he has a more kind of defined role.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose, having said that, it's more of a free role.
Sorry, Pete, go on.
Sometimes I sort of think they could use him a little bit better in that, in the same way that, like, Ozil drags players all over the place.
Yeah.
You know he's going to be doubled up on Gareth Bale. So let him just drag people around and make him work a bit harder off the ball instead of just giving him the ball and going, go on, do something.
To touch on what you're saying, Marcus, to expand on the point you were making really England, I think the difference is that the Welsh players know that Gareth Bale, they know the role they have to play.
Yeah.
With the exception of someone like Ramsey, maybe, who's obviously a fantastic world-class player. Generally, they know the role they have to play.
Yeah.
And they're happy to play it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if English players, certain English players... I couldn't see, for example... I'm not sticking him in there any particular reason, but someone like Sterling or Rooney isn't necessarily going to be happy to play second fiddle to someone like Bale, whereas they are.
But I think you're right, Pete. If he did that, then you could have someone like Hal Robson-Carney or somebody like that to nip in and get a few more goals or something like that. Belgium beat Italy 3-1. Ended a run of 12 successive defeats against Italy for Belgium.
Wow. Number one ranked side in the world, Belgium, now.
They are.
I was, I was in Ghent for it. I was watching it in Belgium. It was quite good because everyone was like going, "Way!" And then they just went back their beers. Just ignore the match until they score again.
We can learn a lot of
great beer there, though, isn't
it's
it?
Very
however
good,
good their football is, ranked number one in the world, the beer is still
when
better.
Everything's 11%, you've got to concentrate on it, I think. And also the powers of locomotion and walking around. So,
don't take it lightly.
I saw a bad result for Greece. Luxembourg 1, Greece 0. Greece, same again.
Yeah.
Still not in the races, are they?
Always the same.
Yeah,
it's a friendly against. Yeah. Like, come on!
Absolutely unbelievable. We're just not up for it. Can we briefly go back to the Belgium?
Of course we can.
Italy game.
Of
touch on Kevin De Bruyne's finish.
Oh, lucky
the first goal. Do you think it was lucky?
What, bouncing the ball?
Yeah, but
like
it
a volley.
Very deliberate. He bounced it into the ground over the goalkeeper.
If he meant that
looked like an absolutely world class execution. Oh, yeah, Rooney hit the bar.
He did, yeah.
He didn't mean it.
No.
But on the Greece thing, I could just imagine the manager taking him in the dressing room before the game and going, look, that's done now.
Yeah.
Can't go back now.
Little confidence booster for you.
Chance for you guys, new players in there, to make a name for yourself. Maybe force yourself into the squad sort of on a more permanent basis. Yeah. And after the game, they just come back in and he goes, you don't fancy that one either, no?
Yeah, right. There's only like four or five of them there. Yeah. The rest of them are going home.
You didn't like that one either. All right, no,
fine. Fine.
Maybe I'll have a look in the mirror and see if there's anything I could be better next time.
Are you eating a Skoplos cheese pie? Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. Not for you, that one. Fair enough. Okay.
Okay, lads, we are running out of opponents that you will be able to play against. Yeah. Andorra, Luxembourg. Yeah. Was it Andorra that beat them?
No, Faroe Islands,
sorry, yeah.
Ronaldo Island would beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if he was the only person there, just him and his like staff.
Even if he got sent off at half time, he'd still beat them.
Right, clean sheet. Oh, no. Come on. No. Not a clean sheet today. Yeah, so they were the friendlies, but the playoffs have been happening, of course. At the time of recording, the Irish have not played Bosnia-Herzegovina. They drew 1-1 away, which...
Useful.
Was useful. I mean, obviously, Dzeko scoring straight after.
Well, I couldn't see anything that was happening. So
what was that?
Fuck was absolutely amazing, but did part of you not just think... I would so love to be playing in that. That looks like so much fun. Like novelty fog match.
I'd pull my shorts and pants down.
Would you?
Yeah. So would Pete, wouldn't you, Pete?
I'd pull yours down.
Yeah, just normal fog behaviour.
You know, when the fog sort of set in, I was thinking about Ireland getting undone by Thierry Henry and that cheating handball, and I thought, oh, not again.
Yeah.
Three goals in the fog and it not being
really
played.
In.
Yeah.
Surely fog is pretty good for the Irish. They know they're kind of like fog, don't they?
Oh, go on. No, carry on, Pete. I want to hear more about your stereotypical Irish weather.
What, for the weather?
Yeah.
Having a go at their weather.
I thought you live in London.
It's quite foggy.
London's got a world reputation for fog.
Have you seen Game of Thrones? Yeah. Yes, yeah. Fog. Yeah.
Game of Thrones is not set in Ireland.
It's filmed there, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Not the same. No, I'm glad you cleared that up.
Exactly the same, in fact.
It's actually from the Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
Okay. So. I hope yours.
I'm glad you. I've never seen it, so I'm glad you cleared that up for me.
Ramble.
For those who remember that.
We still get tweets from people saying, I cannot watch the Game of Thrones theme tune anymore. And it was like a year and a half ago. Robbie Brady scored a lovely one.
Yeah,
he was decent. He was decent on the left.
Apparently,
he cut in on the right, off the right for his goal. He's a good player, Robbie Brady. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? They were missing some key men. Ireland. That's a bigger result than I think they're getting credit for.
I think so. I might have nil. I mean, we won't see.
Yeah,
it again.
But the goalkeeper, not the usual suspect in
it. Was Darren Randolph. Yeah,
yeah, he had a good game though. Yeah,
what a nightmare that is for a keeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't, especially when he doesn't even play for his club. He plays for West Ham, he doesn't get in the team.
In those conditions, I can't see anything.
Yeah. One of the great things was seeing, one thing you could see was Roy Keane celebrating the Ireland goal, and it looked so unnatural.
Yeah, that
he
is
like, pumped his fist and like jumped out the dugout. It looked really weird.
Jason McAteer said this week that Roy Keane's actually a bit of a softie and he's not that hard at all. I was like, you're right, Jason.
Yeah, I will not be risking that.
maybe hide.
That's a lose-lose for you.
You've not convinced us, Jason. Sweden beat Denmark in the first leg there, 2-1. Forsberg and Ibrahimovic. They did put themselves in a good position, but the late Jorgensen goal was blown it wide open.
Ibra was on fire, wasn't he?
Yes. But
he was on a mission, wasn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely was. But he strayed offside when he scored what... I think, you know, he could easily have checked his run and scored there to make it 3-0. But they're back in it, the Danes. The atmosphere in that one was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, you'd expect that.
Yeah, I thought Forsberg was really good. I thought he was so busy. I've not seen him play before, and I was very, very impressed. Yeah, I mean, he scored the first, won the penalty for the second as well, didn't he?
He looked gutted as well when they went off the pitch. I was obviously very, very committed, because that's a good result for them.
One of the notes I wanted to make was for Morten Olsen, the Danish manager. Someone that doesn't really... I mean, he's a sort of character that we would sort of try and lord on this show a bit more. I mean, he got over 100 caps for Denmark across 19 years.
Yeah.
And he's managed them for 15 years. He's managed since 2000. He's got them to qualify for quite a few tournaments. He's done very, very well.
Has he been picking himself, though?
No, not anymore. No, he might have been at some point. But I felt sorry for him because he only just missed out on the Euro 92 winning thing. He retired a couple of years before. He's been such a great servant to Denmark. I think he might be stepping down after next summer, I think. Right, so it'll be really important for him to qualify for that tournament. He won't want to go out without qualifying. But I don't know if they will. I think Sweden might close it out.
Mm, they've got Ibrahimovic in their way.
Bentner missed a sitter, didn't he?
Just goes without saying, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, not for Denmark.
He scores goals for Denmark, doesn't he?
He does. Another man who scores goals for his nation, Yarmolenko, for Ukraine. Thing. Yeah, it was. He scored quite a few goals, actually. He's got a decent scoring record. I think he's still playing in Kiev. Surprised he's not had a little movie. Maybe he doesn't want to, and that's fair enough.
Happy where he is.
Yeah, leave him. I didn't think Ukraine would struggle against Slovenia. They probably should have gone
in the second into the second leg with maybe three.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I think they should be all right. Oh, Handanovic made a great save in the Slovenia goal.
He's a good goalkeeper.
I think they've got another great goalkeeper as well. And it's, like as we said before, with a smaller footballing nation, if you've got two really, really good players, it's annoying that they're in competition.
Yeah.
And they both can't play.
Like England with Hart and Butland.
Butland, yeah. Oh, yeah, I suppose. But Hungary are through to the Euros, the first major tournament since 1986. Great goal from Priskin, I think it's.
Yes. Can we call them the Mighty Magyars again?
We can call them the Magyars.
Yeah. Okay, well, the Mighty Ones.
Yeah.
The Medium Magyars.
The Baggyars, according to Gabor Kirai, with his baggy trousers.
Yeah. Magyars TBC.
But there he was again, at the age of 39. He got his 100th cap in the first leg, and then his 101st to get them through to the tournament.
Is he going to be in the squad for next summer?
Obviously.
Drop him.
No, that would be so hard. Yeah.
Send a message.
You wait for like, no, now it's a tournament, you've got to wear shorts.
Yeah.
And he won't on principle.
Send what message?
To old people that they are not needed.
Not welcome at this tournament.
You can't rest on your laurels.
Yeah.
He's playing
can't
well.
Rest on your shorts.
Yeah. He was asked about his famous jogging bottoms before the match and he said, it's essentially a question of comfort. Yeah.
Wow.
Substance before style, he's gone for, isn't he?
Goodness.
Yeah, apparently, I've played on clay. On clay or grass that's been frozen in the winter and it makes your legs hurt when you fall. So jogging bottoms seemed obvious. But they're not the same all year round, and presumably as a professional footballer, you haven't played on clay for a while.
Does he play on was it an all-weather pitch?
I don't know.
I'm fairly certain I've seen Kiro wear jogging bottoms in the Premier League in the summer.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah.
Absolutely
just,
no need.
It's just what he wears, isn't it?
Yeah. And I always thought, why doesn't he wear... You can wear some fetching tight ones now, but he said, I always take a size above to facilitate movement.
Giving it the big one about his winky.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think come on, Gabor Kirai is actually three people. And two of them are holding the main one up.
Three midgets, I like the idea of that, yeah.
Yeah, fair play, Jim. But yeah, they're through. We look forward to seeing the Hungarians alongside England at Euro 2016.
Can we get a chance we could get beaten 5-3 in the group stages?
6-3.
6-3, sorry, yeah.
There's every chance.
No, 5-3, so it's a genuine improvement.
Yeah. Okay.
And England have done the same amount of research they were able to at the time.
Hungry, to get rid of them.
Just don't worry about them.
People forget that the return, England were like, well, we're not having that.
Yeah.
We'll play you again. 7-1. People often forget that England then went to Hungary. Like, oh, is that how you want to play it? We'll turn up to your back and see how you like it, catching us off guard. It was a worse beating than the 6-3.
Wasn't there talk of in World Cup 90 that I can't remember it was, but one of Bobby Robson's assistants said about Cameroon in the quarterfinal, you'll get past them. That's a bye.
Oi.
Essentially a bye.
Was he correct?
Yeah. You're welcome.
Judge him on his results.
Exactly. Told you. That's it afterwards.
Judge him on
having a beer. Told you.
Right, yeah, Robson comes in, bag of nerves. Yeah. Sweating.
Yeah.
What? You got there, didn't you?
Yeah.
After extra time, still there.
It's my report on Germany. Don't want to read it. Not interested in that West Ham report.
It's not going to go a penalty. Yeah.
They're a lottery anyway.
Oh, dearie me. We're going to talk about some World Cup qualification for Russia 2018 after this.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh, Craigie Brune. Don't forget the preview show, the Football Ramble preview show with Bet365 going out on Friday mornings to you.
Yeah, I mean, the bet of the week last week, the Bet365 bet of the week last week was Robbie Keane to score.
It wasn't Roy Keane, no.
And I got quite a bit of stick about it on Twitter, actually. And I don't know, maybe I didn't explain it properly, but my feeling was that it was going to be a very tight game, which it actually was.
Yes.
And I thought, there's no reason why Robbie Keane can't come on and get the first goal. I mean, it was 0-0 to quite late on in the game anyway.
Yeah.
And Jonathan, I actually thought it was a reasonable shout.
Jonathan Walters was suspended as well. So
indeed.
I thought Keane might take a penalty.
And when I heard the first goal going, Robbie Brady.
Well, Keane wasn't playing, was he?
No, exactly. You can imagine my disappointment. Yeah, anyway, every Friday, we do a bet of the week every week, so yeah, give it a go.
A tangible sense of for disappointment. Mm. But the problem was, of course, that Robbie Keane didn't play.
That was good. The problem, yeah. Rub it in a bit more? Or?
Yeah, just should we just end it there?
I thought I'd say that just before anybody said.
I thought Robbie Keane was chewing to play at some point, because he's obviously always supported Ireland since he was a boy. So.
Right, World Cup qualification talk. We're already talking about the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's happening. And we go to South America. Never a dull moment. And it was the big one. Argentina won, Brazil won. Lavezzi and Lucas Lima with the goals.
Am I right in saying that the reason they're doing the qualification for World Cup 2018 now...
Because they're giddy with excitement.
Is it because when they do the Copa America, they don't actually have to qualify?
No, they don't.
Because there's not enough teams as it is. So they still get that anyway.
They invite one as well.
Indeed. Okay, I was just making that clear.
Well, they invite one or two, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mexico always get the nod, don't they? And then one other, I think it is.
Yeah, usually, yeah. It was Japan once.
It was Japan once.
Yeah, there was talk of Spain.
That'd be great.
But they were a bit like, hang on a minute, because it was during when Spain were world champions, and they thought, this is an awful idea.
Yeah. And then there was talk
of England, and they were like, yeah, that's a better idea. Yeah. And England were like,
that'd be so bloody silly.
Imagine if Spain had won that as well.
I mean, did he even play football? Ridiculous.
It's shocking.
The US.
Mother!
Bobby Robson has assured me they do not play soccer football down there.
Mother, there's a strange chap on the phone.
Fetch me both of my monocles.
Lucas Lima, he was talking about killing lions to stay in the Brazil side.
Yeah, this seems to be a common thing in Brazil.
It has to be an expression, doesn't it?
Either that or they've got to be careful they're not going to be like publicly shamed by Ricky Gervais.
and then David Luiz got in trouble for genuinely trying to kill someone with his studs.
That's right. William said recently that every time he plays for Chelsea, he has to kill a lion, so yeah, it must be.
That might just be that Mourinho really is losing his mind.
Maybe
it's the mascot.
Or the security guards. Oh, well, you know, the extra security
gym.
No
wonder they're so in danger.
But maybe that's in Stamford Bridge, yeah. Argentina, they are second bottom of the group, just 2 points above pointless Venezuela. That's not my thoughts on Venezuela. That's because they have 0 points. Brazil are fourth on 4 points after three matches. No South American team has qualified for the World Cup after winning none of their first three qualifying matches.
Mm. Wow. There's always big casualties, mate, for the World Cup.
Argentina?
Yeah, I mean,
they've just got a star-studded lineup.
But taking a point off Brazil isn't that terrible, is it? It may just be that it's a quirk of the fixture list that they've got this big game in there now and they may, you know, break that record.
The home loss against Ecuador was a bit of a...
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. But they're flying.
And they are, and they will be literally, because they're away to Colombia this week. I'm talking about Argentina. That's the flying things, aren't
it? It's a difficult game, that.
It is a difficult game. If they don't get a win there, and that is a tough place to go, then, my goodness, it's a terrible start. But then they had this under Diego Maradona, and they went through, didn't they?
Yeah, just about.
It was just about. But they still got an automatic place. It was Uruguay they edged out in the playoffs. I think Uruguay then went into the playoffs.
Am I right in saying Argentina have never failed to qualify for the World Cup?
Quite possibly.
I think that must be the case.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, I'm sick as an England fan, us playing them. So I could happily miss out on that every year.
Get lost,
years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a new rival. smash us every time.
Really wrong,
like Portugal did it for a bit.
But a lesser one. So we started off with Germany, and it became apparent that they kind of moved on to bigger and better things.
Going
to
be Wales.
Yeah.
We had Scotland for a while, didn't we?
Oh, we had Scotland for a while. Then we thought we got a bit big for our boots.
Yeah.
And then Germany. And then we had to knock it down a notch. And Germany and Argentina. Now, then it was like Portugal and Romania. And now, I don't know.
Portugal filled in for a while, didn't they?
Slovenia and
San Marino.
San Marino. Yeah, they haven't got the better of us.
Smash those losers. Mm,
damn right. Ecuador beat Uruguay 2-1. As you say, Jim, they are flying. They're the early pace setters in the group, winning 3 out of 3.
Yeah.
Well done, those Ecuadorians.
It feels like Man City flop Felipe Caicedo at it again.
It feels like it might be. It's sort of, we're in a sort of era of Chile at the moment, aren't we? Chile are the team who are sort of impressing the most around there.
Well, they dropped points at home. I mean, it was to Colombia, fair enough, but Vidal and Rodriguez with the goals. What I like about South American football is the big players perform.
They really do. And actually, both goals were proper, like, sort of really indicative, almost like. Like little hallmarks of both those players' styles of play. Vidal was a really strong header in the box.
He had
three different heads around him. Like he really could hurt.
He's a little guy.
He really wanted it, didn't he?
Yeah. But James Rodriguez's was this really sort of tidy, brilliant sort of swivel and finish where it almost looked like he'd let the ball get behind him a bit. It was like, I'm really good, it's fine. And
they got such desire as well. If you look at someone like Alexis Sanchez, he just goes back and forth all the time.
But it wasn't just Sanchez, though. It was, as you say, the whole game was played at that high tempo. I think Colombia and Chile both feel that, you know, top dog status in South America is there for the taking. They both have great sets of players right now.
Chile are a great example for being greater than the sum of their parts.
Yeah.
Because they do have a couple of really great players, of course, with Alexis Sanchez and Vidal. And they've got one or two others as well. But they're such a unit. They're such a team who play for each other so much.
And those two players aren't scene stealers for their actual clubs. So I think that kind of works into that as well.
Yeah, just part of a better team. Part of a good team, I think with England, I mean, like, there's absolutely no excuse for someone like Alexis. If Alexis Sanchez can go to international breaks and tear it up, travelling like 7,000 miles each way every time.
He is ridiculous, though. Yeah. He can't turn himself off. Over the summer, after he just won the Copa America with the last kick of the game, he went on holiday and, like, you know, his instructions were to have a rest. He's posting videos of himself training on the beach on Instagram. Like, what are you doing?
I love it.
Go to sleep. Stop.
Arsenal fans everywhere go, stop this.
Well, there's talk of Wenger going to have to give him a break.
Because he has looked a little bit tired on the cage.
He's had sort of, you know, fits and starts. He's had some really good patches of form and then drops off a little bit.
But apparently, if he misses a chance in training, he adds a lap to his warm down.
My God.
My goodness. But how can he be tired, Jim, if he gets paid all that money?
Exactly, yeah.
That's how bodies respond.
You just rub money on your body and it's fine.
That's right. That is right, everybody. But don't try that at home. Or indeed the workplace. You'll be weird. Let's go to Asia. We mentioned ages ago when Bhutan made it into the group stages of the
Bhutan clan.
The Bhutan clan.
Very good, Jim. They made it to the group stages of the Asian qualifying for the World Cup after they beat Sri Lanka in a playoff, which was a huge thing because they were the bottom-ranked side in the FIFA rankings.
Bhutan clan coming at you.
That's right.
Watch your step, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on.
Finished?
Yeah, everyone's been done.
Good.
I think they can know the Bhutan crew, actually, Luke.
Yeah. Pete once called Wu-Tang Clan Wu-Tang crew in my presence, in a bar. Other people heard. Thank you, bye.
More importantly, in front of Doc Brown's presence.
Yeah.
Who is a legitimate rapper.
I like our Wu-Tang crew, yeah.
Yeah. I was drunk.
Yeah.
Very drunk.
As I said to you before, as I said to the police officer as well, it's not an excuse.
Well, in case we hadn't given any updates since Bhutan made it into the group stage, I can't remember if we have or not, and you were desperate to find out what the latest is, they were beaten 12-0 by China.
Oh, Bhutan, come and play England.
Come on, Bhutan.
Know your level, eh?
Yeah, slugs.
Bhutan slugs.
Yeah. Yeah, we never backed them anyway.
Rubbish.
Yeah, rubbish. Let's go to Japan.
Me and Jim have just come back.
Yeah, I know. Well, you'll be all right on this.
This is old news to us.
It's right up your street, this lot.
All over it, mate.
This little lot's right up your two street.
Our dories.
Yeah. King Kazu, as he's called. Kazuyoshi Miura, the world's oldest, or thought to be the
world's
oldest.
Football's oldest playmate.
King Kazu, the oldie worldie footballer.
The oldie worldie footballer.
Yeah, he thought to be the world's oldest professional player.
Kanu's son, isn't he?
Yes, probably. Yeah. He signed a contract extension of 12 months, which will take him past 49 years of age. He plays for Japanese second division side Yokohama FC. I love this. The contract extension was announced at 11 minutes past 11 a.m. in tribute to King Kazu as he wears the number 11 jersey. He said, "I'll continue to give everything I have and strive." There'll be a lot of striving. Let's be honest. He scored 3 times in 16 appearances this season. It's worth pointing out that he made his professional debut in 1986.
I'm of an age where I look at that and I sort of go, that doesn't seem too bad. Because I've been watching football for a long time. Yeah. It's like, I'm getting old.
He's currently out with a thigh injury, obviously.
Yeah. He's got a thigh left.
Yeah, that's right. And now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi, everyone.
Yo.
I've got a update from Tobias Ashton, who got in touch last week with this highlight of the week about Torquay extending their unbeaten run due to their game being postponed. They got beat 4-0.
Bootanned it up, guys.
They had a man sent off, but at least we've still got a lesser-spotted player manager, he said, which is great.
Yeah, that is good.
So business as usual back at Torquay. And there's another Torquay-themed one here as well, actually. Simon B on Twitter would like to, nonetheless, despite the defeat, give props to the 30-odd Torquay fans who made the 700-mile round trip to Barrow only for them to get beat 4-0, as we just said. That's a big trip. Taylor Wilson says his highlight of the week was the final whistle at Fratton Park yesterday. I agree with that. They stuck the place out. Absolutely terrible. Cole Hodgson says, "I'm looking forward to the overwhelming prospect of Kieran Dyer having a banter on I'm a Celebrity." Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. So Kieran Dyer's obviously gone into I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. And I think ITV asked them to do a little statement, each contestant, to say what they were looking forward to. And Kieran Dyer's was, "I'm just looking forward to having a banter."
I'm a Mickey taker. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to having banter.
It was a single solitary banter. So we're looking forward to knowing when it's going to happen.
I've had me banter, I'm leaving.
I've got that.
Maybe he thinks a banter is like a little worm or something he's got to eat.
It could be. Yeah, banter grub. Musbach Ram says, my highlight was saying, "I'm full of money" to my wife. without her having a clue what I was talking about, she wanted change for a parking meter. If that's not a euphemism, I don't know what is. I'll just finish off this little one before you guys do yours by saying my highlight of the week was Paul Scholes taking as many opportunities as possible at Old Trafford in that charity game to shoot as he could, thus not only making a point to Louis van Gaal but also trying to single-handedly give Old Trafford back the entertainment he feels they've been missing. it's like right, I'm sorting this out myself. Yeah. I'll shoot any time I get the ball.
Got a beautiful dink in that match.
He did actually score a goal from a Beckham cross, didn't he? Which is lovely to see. Yeah. I think Gary Neville might have even given the ball to Beckham. So
it was Phil Neville. I think it was Phil Neville. And that cross from Beckham, it's still the best cross of the ball that England have ever had. England have got. Yeah. Good Lord.
It was
whipped.
Great, wasn't it?
Oh,
marvellous. Raul winning the North American Soccer League Bowl with New York Cosmos, ending his career.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
With
winning a trophy.
21-year career.
Beautiful. It's got to be a highlight, isn't it?
Yeah, nothing compared to King Kazu.
No, well, it's easy.
You know. Lowlight for me, if I may sort of edge this into the highlights section, Harvey Renard getting sacked 6 months after being in charge of Lille. 13 points from 13 matches. I think that's a bit hasty, personally.
As a Newcastle fan, I'd take that.
Was there talk of him being linked with any other job in the Premier League, like Aston Villa or Newcastle?
I don't think so.
Why do you keep thinking things to Newcastle? He's only got his feet under the table.
Because I'm trying to think...
McLaren's still there.
Let me put this another way, because when it comes to comedic stuff happening around Newcastle, we've been doing this show for a long time, we're running out of options. If I can link Harvey Renard to it...
I would say the way Harvey Renard dresses, it's a very big market look, I'd say.
You could just
for the older gentleman.
On a night out in Newcastle, my goodness.
You could just paint black stripes up and down his shirt.
Tight fitting, yeah.
Yeah, my highlight, a lot of people tweeted in about this as well, is the extraordinary news that Mattia Flamini has created a type of acid that is able to replace petrol and is launching into a $20 billion market.
Is it an oil substitute chemical or something?
Yeah. It's one of 20 that is viable as an oil replacement.
Yeah, but he's actually made it viable and patented it. So
I mean, not personally, he's paid for Annie.
Yeah, he has.
And he's employed a world famous scientist to do it.
Yeah, but he's still pumped his own money into it.
Literally
done it all himself.
Diversify your assets. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
It's in Italy, isn't it? Because when he was in Milan,
This is how this sort of came about.
He's kept it a secret for 7 years. Not even Mesut Ozil knew.
How is that Nollywood film coming along?
No one's that. You think he's overkept it? I'm not denigrating it because it's a great thing he's doing and it's important.
Yeah.
But the reason he's managed to keep it a secret is essentially because no one's that interested.
Or believes it.
I don't think he's told everyone.
But he still kept it a secret.
I don't think other players are prodding him every day. Tell us about your acid.
Imagine if he was pissed. Oh, I have created this. Oh, shut up.
Why does Flamini talk like that in your mind?
staying with the managerial merry-go-round in Ligue 1, obviously talking about Harvey Renard. Because it was 13 points from 13 matches and he went, but Montpellier have only 12 points from their opening matches, but their owner, Louis Nicolin, a better time we had to mention, he's backed the manager and he said, I'm keeping him.
Okay.
However, some of his signings are total losers.
Losers.
There's an 80% chance I sack him next season.
Bloody hell.
80%.
Presumably that's only 80% because it's 90% he'll sack him this season.
Yeah, the manager rings up. Sorry, just about those comments you made. Yeah, you've got a 20% chance. Prove me wrong.
What about those
loser?
What about those players?
Yeah.
Loser.
Which players were you talking about? Not telling you.
Great stuff. He owns the club. Those players are not going to play for him.
Great stuff. Oh, do you want Andrew on website roundup as well?
Please.
Website roundup on thefootballramble.com, edited by the always excellent Kelly Wells. She's got Harry Redknapp and Garth Crooks joining forces to shield the world's first duck-billed football boot, which we talked about last week briefly, and further news on Brewtown's attempt to get their goal difference into three figures, minus, not plus, as Marcus touched on earlier. And Weekend Football explores the concept of time travel with Ronaldinho, David Seaman and the Beckham boys. What else we got here? Oh, yeah, she says, follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells, but she's going to be in Iceland next week, so if you do, you might get a bonus footage of her having a fist fight with a journalist in an airport. Hope not, but could happen.
Feel free to set off the Roomba in the Icelandic penis museum.
There you go.
Which is what I did.
An offer you would find very difficult to refuse.
Uh-huh. Speaking of, can I give my highlight of the week?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
No, I didn't have the chance. You just moved on, Spelsy.
Well, I thought we were done.
Pig. You pig.
You had yours with the opening question.
Well,
Go on then. Let's take it back.
Big Sol against Ronaldinho in that football match.
Oh yeah.
Just knocking him over and going, oh, I'm the best. Oh, I'm the best.
Oh, it's great. It was
such
great.
A knob.
It was also great when he got subbed off because he looked genuinely annoyed.
And also Beckham failing to connect. Well, he connected with a header where he went over the top of the bar from a Beckham corner, which was lovely.
Nice. I would love it if he scored that.
Yeah. Beckham versus Beckham.
Lovely. Pete, you've got something else to say now, haven't you?
Loads of stuff. What do you want me to say?
Talk about 4-4.
It's not about cheese graters again, is it?
Oh, that's right, yes. 4-4 Toons. Basically, last week, a young man by the name of the excellent Dean from 4-4 Toons.
He's not always excellent.
He's been excellent for 1 week. He's a lovely bloke by the name of Dean from 4-4 Toons. He put together a cartoon of a bit of last week's show, and he's going to be doing the same this week. The video can be found at youtube.com/footballramble and over on his channel, where he does a lot of animation that takes the mick out of football, as do we. youtube.com/442oons. So it's 442oons. Yeah. See what he's done there? Thank you very much, Dean, especially because he got pelters last week for having us on his channel.
Yeah, the football
very different audiences.
The Football Ramble animated. I mean, he's made us all look fairly handsome, which I'm happy about.
We're all delighted with it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, we are. Any more for any more?
No.
Good.
No.
If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter @footballramble. Go to the website, thefootballramble.com. And, of course, 442oons and so on and so forth.
Facebook. All of it.
Yeah, Instagram. You ruddy know.
And if you're American, listen to us twice a week on Sirius. Tuesday and Thursday.
Sirius Radio.
Sirius XMFC.
Yeah. Tuesday and Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern, you guys.
You're damn right. 10 a.m. Western.
Aloha, Hawaii.
That would be a different one.
It would, yeah.
But you know, if you're just giving them a shout out. Yeah. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye. Also, I've got an old iPhone if anyone wants to buy it.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See you later.
And it's goodbye from me.
This weekend on Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio, we're going to be live at the Hawthorns for West Brom versus Arsenal. One for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
You, Jim, and if you live in the West Midlands, you can now hear Absolute Radio on 105.2 FM. Lovely!